Welcome to Times Square in New York. With up to 450,000 visitors each day on the busiest days, this is one of the most visited tourist destinations in the world. I'm Coy Wire, this is CNN 10, and it's Your Word Wednesday, so listen up to see if the vocabulary word you submitted helped us write today's show. All right, let's get to the news. A new warning this week from two scientific groups. They say record-breaking ocean temperatures are causing a mass bleaching event that is damaging coral reefs around the world. Coral bleaching is where coral loses its color and becomes completely white. Now, that doesn't mean the coral is dead, but it is under significant stress and has a higher chance of dying. This is happening in large portions of the Atlantic, Pacific, and Indian Oceans, according to two scientific bodies, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, and the International Coral Reef Initiative. This would mark the fourth time the world has seen a major bleaching event, but experts are warning this one could become the worst in recorded history. CNN's Zane Asher met one man who noticed his local reef was dying, and he wanted to do something about it. Scientists and professors urged him to get a degree to learn more about the issue, but he couldn't wait. At the age of 18, he found a few island brothers and sisters and started Coral Gardeners. Let's travel to an island in French Polynesia to meet his team.
This is Tiaia, one of three permanent ocean-based coral nurseries in Mauréa. As coral gardeners, both by company name and by profession, these sites are at the core of what they do on a daily basis.
Coral gardening is the coolest thing on earth. You are underwater, there is nobody talking. You hear the sound of the parrotfish like the noise of the waves, you have those thousands of little coral fragments, and you have the fish. They become your co-workers. It's something so tangible. It's such a rewarding feeling to see your tiny coral fragment growing.
First on the day's to-do list is installing new underwater foundations, a task assigned to gardeners Loic and Johan.
I think that's the most physical part.
Meanwhile, team members Hannah and Salome collect data from the nearly 6,000 pieces growing in this part of the nursery alone.
We're looking at the overall health of each fragment for any signs of predation or disease and bleaching signs as well. And then the last part is out of all the corals that are growing, we have a subsample that we follow and monitor for growth.
Right now is also outplanting season, meaning there are healthy and heat-resilient coral ready to be relocated back onto the damaged reef.
Well, I was with my buddy Maori Day, and we were planting those beautiful Posilopora verrucosa, so the pinky coral. We were choosing the right spots, removing the algae, placing the big mother colony of coral coming from our nurseries, and then using the coral clips to attach them, then marine cement, and it's really satisfying here.
And the cycle continues by refilling the nursery.
Let's go collect some corals. So right now we are at the donor site. That's the place where we are collecting fragments of corals coming from big mother colony that are more resilient. They survived to all the last bleaching events. And the plan right now is that we're going to place on ropes in the coral nursery.
To preserve the health of the colony, they'll take no more than 10%.
Tayano and I will create a coral rope. That's the process of coral gardening. We have the tag, nursery number 2, rope number 1. That's how we do all the scientific monitoring behind.
And they say on average it will take 12 to 18 months for those fragments to grow big and healthy enough to make it back onto the nearby reef.
And there you go. It was our dream one day to have a job where you get paid to be on the water and taking care of the place we love the most.
10-second trivia. Which of these cities is known as the City of Light? Marseille, Paris, Strasbourg, or Bordeaux? If you chose Paris, then ooh la la oui oui. The capital of France is hailed as one of the world's cultural and commercial centers and is often referred to as the City of Light. We are just 100 days away from the 2024 Olympic Games in Paris. I'm here in New York to interview some of the august athletes who will be repping Team USA. You'll hear from them soon. But today we're looking to Paris as it prepares for some 15 million visitors this summer. To get ready, the city is restoring the Grand Palais, one of its iconic monuments.
The Parisian skyline is filled with famous silhouettes. But this building, the one with the largest glass roof in Europe, leaves a lasting impression. The Grand Palais.
Tout le château de Versailles rentre dans le Grand Palais. Et le poids de l'acier complet ici est supérieur à la Tour Eiffel. Pour être un palais des fêtes, un palais où tout était possible et qui est fait pour l'imaginaire.
In its more than 120-year history, this landmarked behemoth of iron, steel, and glass has hosted countless art exhibitions, equestrian performances, and fashion shows, including perhaps most famously, Chanel. But much of the building has been closed off to the public, and Paris now plans to restore and reveal some of the long-hidden halls of the Grand Palais in time for the 2024 Summer Olympics. In addition to reopening the galleries, the team is also restoring a view from the rotunda that no one has seen since 1939 by removing a wall which separated the main nave from the Palais de la Découverte. The final phase of the renovation will continue through 2025, but they hope to finish phase one in time for the Olympic Games.
Nous l'espérons, tout se termine à temps pour accueillir les grandes épreuves de d'escrime et de taekwondo qui vont être données ici.
It will be just here, in the middle, in the center of the perspective, and to see that, and the public will be there on the right and on the left. It will be something very beautiful.
For today's story, getting a 10 out of 10, we have a near catastrophe that sent one feline flying through the air. A scaredy cat turned rocket ship is perfection. Our Jeannie Most has more.
We've done stories on an enormous cat and on a slap-happy cat slapping a judge at a cat show. But this blur across your screen?
This is the flying cat.
Meet Remy, a Chicago area Bengal cat. 2-year-old Remy went behind some hanging coats. His housemate, Lucy the cat, decided to come play. But when Lucy knocked a coat off the hook, Remy went bonkers. The cat was fine.
He landed on this.
An interactive cat toy. Commenters were awestruck, saying,
my cat has wings.
They called him the Michael Jordan of cats.
But I've never seen him get air like that in my life.
The dog of the house, Maggie, was singled out online for her chill reaction.
And just looks at my boyfriend like, there they go again.
The stratospheric leap went explosively viral, and many labeled Remy the very definition of a scaredy cat. But Remy took being jumpy to a whole new level. Like Rocky, he's gonna fly. Jeannie Most, CNN.
Thanks, Jeannie. And congrats to Miss Amanda and the Olive Family Academy in Tomah, Wisconsin, for submitting the Your Word Wednesday winner, august, an adjective meaning respected and impressive. Well done. All right, today's shout out is going to Chinook Trail Middle School in Colorado Springs. Rise up. Thank you for spending part of your day with us. We'll see you right back here tomorrow. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.